Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we hear about what's going on at the Minnesota Veterans Cemetery on Memorial Day, and we find out how the mission continues with Lee Freeman. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Throughout the summer, the Minnesota Twins are recognizing beyond the yellow ribbon networks that support military members, veterans, and their families. What a truly fantastic recognition program they've developed. The Minnesota Twins put our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon logo in their outfield and said, "We want to thank the people who support military families." And they're doing it. Just prior to the game, yellow ribbon networks are being brought to the Twins' home plate bi-monthly and are recognized for their unique contributions to our statewide Beyond the Yellow Ribbon effort. Thanks to the Minnesota Twins and to the more than 250 yellow ribbon networks throughout our great state. It is only with your support that we are able to keep the Minnesota National Guard a competent, ready force.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The mission continues, empowers veterans facing the challenge of adjusting to life at home to find new missions. They redeploy veterans in their communities so that their shared legacy will be one of action and service. And joining me now to talk about that is Lee Freeman, Minneapolis Service Platoon Leader from The Mission Continues. Lee, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Lee, I understand you're a veteran of the United States Air Force.
I am. I entered the Air Force in 1989. I was honorably discharged in 2004, and while in, I was assigned to the Air Force Office of Special Investigations as a special agent, and really enjoyed my time. It was quite rewarding.
And Lee, how did you end up working with the Mission Continues?
Well, I got out in 2004, and to be quite honest, it was kind of a new world for me because I went into the military right out of college, and that's all I knew. And so I kind of bounced around from different job to different job, trying to find meaning and purpose, and just wasn't finding satisfaction in what I was doing. And believe it or not, I was on Facebook. I never considered myself to be a social media mogul, but I found an article about a person who was struggling, and they found an organization that helped them, and it was The Mission Continues. And so I looked up what they do, and I applied for a fellowship. It was awesome. It's really affected and changed my life for the better.
And how long have you been there now?
I've been with volunteering with The Mission Continues for 2 years now.
2 years already?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's dig into that. The Mission Continues. What's the organization? What do you do?
Well, as you mentioned opening up, it's The Mission Continues. It's a national nonprofit organization, and it's supported by thousands of Americans who believe that they can empower this generation of veterans that are coming home. And it's all about to help them successfully reintegrate while at the same time building stronger communities.
So the mission is to help veterans transition from military life to civilian life and to give them something they can work on. And to those veterans that join you as a fellowship, do they get some kind of stipend? Is this some kind of a, how does this transition work?
Right. The transition program, the Mission Continues Fellowship Program, it's targeted for those post 9/11 veterans. And it's a 6-month fellowship where it helps them. It provides them the tools and the leadership training to make that transition from that military life to the civilian world. And they do get a stipend while they're learning and being challenged with these assignments. And they donate some time to a nonprofit they're choosing, 20 hours a week. And the stipend, they get a monthly stipend, and over 6 months, it can average about $7,200. So it's not a bad deal.
Lee, a few years ago, we had a frequent guest on the show, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber. And we were talking earlier, I know you know him, but while he was on and off the show over a period of 6 months, maybe 8 months, I believe he was working with The Mission Continues. Do you recall?
Yes. Colonel Mark Weber, I attended his fellowship orientation class back in 2013, and we both went out to Los Angeles, and we attended the 3-day orientation together. And Mark, after that, he remained an inspirational part of The Mission Continues, and still does. We still use a lot of what he has said and done to inspire those veterans coming through to make that difference and understand why and what it is that The Mission Continues does. And Mark was a great guy.
An extraordinary gentleman, and while he was undergoing some severe health problems himself, he taught us a lot, and I think he taught us how to live, and he taught us how to die, and what a remarkable gentleman.
Yes, sir, I totally agree.
We're speaking with Lee Freeman, Minneapolis Service Platoon Leader with the Mission Continues on Minnesota Military Radio. Lee, Can you give us a little more information now? The mission continues. This is to help our recent veterans transition from military to civilian. How do you find them? How do they find you? Who's eligible?
The easiest way to find us is to go to www.missioncontinues.org, and you'll find information about the two programs that we have, that the Mission Continues offers. That's the fellowship program, and a recently new endeavor is called the Service Platoon Concept that was rolled out in 2013. You can find on the website at missioncontinues.org, there's going to be a tab that says Get Involved. You just click that link, and you'll find all the information you're going to need to be able to fill an application for a fellowship, and or to find a service platoon in an area, for example, the Minneapolis Service Platoon.
The Mission Continues is a nationwide effort?
It's a nationwide effort. We've got over 30 platoons across the nation, and the service platoons are exploding across the country. We expect that number probably to double in the next year or so. And the fellowship program, the beauty of that is you can do that anywhere where you live. If you can find a nonprofit you want to support, you can do that wherever you are. And that's the beauty of the fellowship program.
Now, how is the Mission Continues funded?
The Mission Continues program is funded through corporate sponsors and donations that are made. And we're proud to have a lot of great sponsors. For example, the lead sponsor for the Minneapolis Service Platoon is Target. And Target has been an amazing corporation that has supported us and the Mission Continues as a whole. It's one of the largest corporate sponsors that we have as a whole. So each platoon will have their own lead sponsor, corporate sponsor, and to help, you know, to fund things that we do as veterans to make a difference in the community.
So the Mission Continues is a nonprofit organization?
It is a nonprofit organization.
And I assume you're always looking for new sponsors.
Always.
Well, it's nice to know that here in Minneapolis or here in Minnesota that Target is your sponsor and in supporting this mission.
Target, they're very passionate about making a difference in the community, and they've always been supportive of us, and I really do appreciate that.
And once again, if people are interested in looking up more information, the website is missioncontinues.org, and we'll have a link to that on our Facebook site if Sergeant Johnny can put that up on Minnesota Military Radio. Lee, we just got a few minutes left in this segment. You say there's platoons all over the country, and there's one here in Minneapolis. How many fellowships are available nationwide, and how many locally?
Nationwide, there's different goals for each state. I know for Minnesota, we have a fellowship goal of 5 per year. So I would highly encourage any veteran out there that if you're post 9/11 and you're in that kind of feeling that you're in a transition state, the two goals that we have for fellows is to either obtain a full-time job and a career or to reach higher education. So we have 5 fellowships available. You can go to that website, apply, and find out some more information.
So if you're a recent veteran that was recently discharged or off active duty and you're looking for a job, looking for something to do while you're doing that, it might be worthwhile to get a hold of missioncontinues.org and come in there and sharpen your skills.
It would be perfect. And don't wait the 8 years that it took me to find it. I wish I could have found it earlier.
8 years?
8 years. That's right.
I thought us Air Force guys were a little sharper than that.
A little sharper than that. Yeah, I don't want to spread that around.
And your typical veteran that comes in is from the last decade or so.
Yep, since 9/11, right? Post 9/11. So, and it's about those folks that are, you know, they still might be finding that transition. And it was originally founded in 2007 and 2008 by Eric Greitens, the founder of the Mission Continues. He found that, you know, the men and women coming out, they need some help. But it's not a charity, it's a challenge. And we challenge them along the way and provide them a big team of support for them. So,
all right, Lee, we want to talk about this a little bit more, and I want to talk a little more when we come back about what they do if they're successful in getting a fellowship and how they can put that to good use.
You bet.
We're speaking with Lee Freeman, who is the Minneapolis Service Platoon Leader for the Mission Continues on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking today to Lee Freeman, who is the Minneapolis Service Platoon Leader for the Mission Continues. And Lee, we established in the first segment that you're a veteran of the United States Air Force, and you linked up with the Mission Continues a couple of years ago on a fellowship, and you're still there volunteering and working with people. And can you tell us once again, what's the mission of the Mission Continues?
Well, the mission is really, it's to help empower veterans who are facing the challenge of when they come back after service and they find that maybe they have a challenge adjusting to life at home to find new missions. We like to say we redeploy veterans in their communities so that they can have a shared legacy that we like to say it's going to be of action and service. So it's about empowering them, giving them the opportunity and challenge them along the way. So,
and you're a nonprofit and you have some corporate sponsors and you're well-funded, and right now you're looking for veterans, recent veterans, that to apply for these grants and these fellowships so that they can sharpen their skills and get ready to get back into the civilian workforce.
Exactly. If you go to Mission Continues Fellowship or missioncontinues.org, our website, you can click on a tab that says Get Involved, and then you can apply for a fellowship. We have a next fellowship that's coming up, the Fellowship Class Delta 2015. It's going to take place out in Dallas, Texas. The application deadline is July 6th of this year. So if you think you could use that help, and that's a paid fellowship, by all means, please apply. And we're looking for at least five fellowships this coming year, and that's an all-expense-paid trip to the orientation in Dallas.
So you're looking for at least five right here in Minnesota?
Right here in Minnesota.
So all your veterans out there that got a little time on your hands and want to transition back into a civilian workforce, go to missioncontinues.org and put in that application and see what you can do for your favorite charity. Now tell me about that part. We apply, you get chosen for a fellowship, you go to that orientation class, come back, you get to work for your favorite charity?
You get to choose whatever local nonprofit that you like, and that's the beauty of the program. You have the freedom to go out there and find that and work with that organization that you have passion for. And you do this for 20 hours a week for 6 months. And it's about learning to connect, reconnect with your community and that nonprofit. And sometimes those veterans that work for those or help out those organizations will get hired on afterwards. And, you know, there's some research that's been done that says that, you know, we've offered over 1,200 fellowships in 49 states. And since 2008, they've calculated that approximately of all the volunteer service that's been conducted out there, it amounts to about $12 million worth of service.
Wow. I can't think anything better. You're a veteran. You're coming back trying to figure out what to do. You can get paid for your efforts 20 hours a week, and you can pick your favorite charity to go work with.
It's a no-brainer.
How good is that?
That's right.
So go to missioncontinues.org and put in some fill out the paperwork and see if you can tie up with the Mission Continues. Now, second part of this is the Mission Continues Service Platoons. Tell me about the Service Platoons.
Service Platoons was a concept that we found that maybe some people that when they've come back out of the service, they've handled that transition well. They found a career. They've gone into education or some sort, but they still lack that purpose or that connection that they had when they were in the military. And so the Mission Continues launched the Service Platoon concept in 2013. It started out with about five or nine pilot platoons, but we now have over 30 platoons, service platoons across the country. And so it's a group of teams of 50, anywhere from 50 to 100 veterans, active duty guard or reserve members that come together around a need in their community and to try to make an impact on that need.
We're speaking with Lee Freeman, Minneapolis Service Platoon Leader from the Mission Continues on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Lee, I understand the 1st Platoon Minneapolis is on a mission to help combat homelessness. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, sir. When I attended platoon leader training in April of 2014, came back, I had to develop a mission, and I had a heart for helping those that are without homes and homelessness. So the vision of the Minneapolis 1st Service Platoon is to partner with the city of Minneapolis to eliminate homelessness. But the mission of the platoon is to partner with those nonprofit organizations who possess similar goals of eliminating homelessness.
So you must be working with the MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, and they've got the Minneapolis stand down coming up August 4th out at the Boy Scout base camp out by Fort Snelling.
And that's correct, and you'll see us out there. We're working with MACV to set up a site. And if you're out there that day, look us up. The mission continues, and we'll give you more information, and we'll tell you about the fellowship program and the Minneapolis Service Platoon.
Now, just to clarify, Lee, in your 1st Platoon here in Minneapolis, you have some people on fellowships that they might choose to work with MACV or some other charity of their choice, but you also have some volunteers, right?
That's correct. the volunteers that we have, they come together and they join this Minneapolis Service Platoon. And it's all about volunteers. And you can join that service platoon by going to missioncontinues.org and looking up the Minneapolis Service Platoon. And it's really, you get put on an email list and you get sent, we have monthly events. And in the last 8 months since we really started, we've had over 12 events. And those events have ranged anywhere from helping with homelessness or preparing, delivering food for residents and doing a lot of great things and having fun doing it.
So it's a bunch of vets getting together, volunteering to help out some worthy causes.
That's correct.
All right. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was your Minneapolis 1st Platoon, I understand, recently rehabilitated an emergency homeless shelter.
That's correct. Our first service event, and a service event is that thing that where we plan and organize it. And we went into the St. Stephen's Human Services Men's Emergency Shelter, and we went in there and we cleaned it up, painted, did a lot of reorganizing in one day. When I first walked through there, I was talking to the volunteer coordinator, and she said, we've always been wanting to do this for a couple of years. And I said, well, we could do this in a day. And we had about 20 to 30 veterans come out and knock that thing out. And it was a great day and a good cause.
So was the place just a little beat up and worn out?
Just needing a little TLC, and we went in there and made it a better place to live and work.
So we cleaned it up, painted it up, shined it up, and turned it back over to them. I bet they were pretty happy with you.
They were very pleased, and we're continuing to work with St. Stephen's Human Services on some additional projects as well.
Okay, Lee, we just got a couple of minutes left. Can you tell me about one or two of the other events?
We have an event coming up on May 30th. That's with Simpson Housing Services. That's going to be between noon and 3 p.m. And if you want more information about that, you can go to missioncontinues.org, look up the Minneapolis Service Platoon, and look up my name and my email, and I'll be happy to get back with you. We're going to go over to Simpson Housing. They work with Minneapolis and Indian homelessness, providing housing and support, and they're great advocates, and we're going to go in there and help them organize and clean things up a little bit.
So there's a schedule of future events on the website as well, missioncontinues.org.
That's correct.
All right, you had 12 missions in the last 8 months, and you got a bunch more coming up. You need some veterans to apply for the fellowships.
We need some veterans for the fellowships, and if you don't think a fellowship would benefit you, but you want to give back to your community, join the Minneapolis Service Platoon.
And just become a volunteer and bring along some ideas and maybe some recipients and some other people that might need some help.
That's correct. And, you know, because of the great response that we've had in the Minneapolis, the Mission Continues decided to launch another service platoon in St. Paul. And that one just started last month.
So you're going to have a little competitiveness between Minneapolis and St. Paul going on.
That's right.
Oh, we got the Air Force on this side and the Army on the other side, I'll bet.
No, the platoon leader on that side is Air Force, too, so we're good to go, I think.
All right. Well, Lee, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I would just say if you're a veteran out there and if you found yourself maybe struggling, trying to find purpose and direction, by all means, please reach out to the Mission Continues at the website and look into the fellowship program. If you feel like, you know, you're good to go with a career in education, but you want to give back and you just miss that camaraderie and fellowship that you've had with your service members, look up the Minneapolis and St. Paul service platoons and see what you can do. And you won't regret it.
Lee, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Lee Freeman, Minneapolis Service Platoon Leader with the Mission Continues on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. In a moment, we'll hear about what's going on at the Minnesota Veterans Cemetery on Memorial Day. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to find out what's going on at the Minnesota Veterans Cemetery on Memorial Day and a lot of other good information. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
The 2015 Voices Award recognizes, amplifies, and honors Minnesotans who have honorably served, are thriving, and making extraordinary contributions to their communities. These actively engaged former and current military service members go above and beyond to make exceptional, positive contributions that improve the lives of people across Minnesota. Our own Tom Lyons was selected as an awardee last year. The Minnesota's Humanity Center is accepting nominations for its Veterans Voices Award. Veterans Voices is a statewide program of the Humanities Center. Nominate a veteran today. Details can be found on the Minnesota Humanities Center's website, mnhum.org/vets.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Minnesota State Veterans Cemeteries is Dave Swantek, the Cemetery Director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery, located just north of Little Falls. Dave, it's good to have you in the studio the last few times. I think you were called in on the phone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I was on the phone last time, so happy to be here.
Now, Dave, you were telling me before we went on the air here that you started your career out in Casper, Wyoming.
That's correct. Long time ago, 1994.
And you were taking care of the Oregon Trail Veterans Ceremony out in Casper?
Yes, I was involved out there, and it's kind of a summer job to start with for a couple summers when I was going to college at Casper College, and ended up turning into a full-time job, and it was 1992, actually, and 4 years later, packed up and headed
to Minnesota.
To the land of the ice and cold.
Wait a minute. I've been to Wyoming in the wintertime, and that's just as cold as it is here, Dave.
It can be, that's for sure.
So how did you get to come to Minnesota? Did you just see an opening that was posted and apply for it?
No, it was a pure stroke of chance. My boss out there in Wyoming happened to be gone, and went and got the mail. It was a little post office there close to the cemetery. Went down and got the mail one day, and there's this job announcement for a new state veteran cemetery in Minnesota looking for a cemetery director. If my boss hadn't been on vacation, I'm sure that letter would have hit the circular file, and I would have never known about it.
So the State Veterans Ceremony, or Cemetery, just north of Little Falls, is actually right outside Camp Ripley.
Right outside of Camp Ripley. We're not part of Camp Ripley. Kind of a unique feel to the cemetery in that it seems like it's part of camp with the stone walls around our entryway, but property was never owned by camp. It was owned by Minnesota Power. And a group of local veterans, a DAV organization in Morrison County, actually purchased that property with the intent to donate it to the state for to be used as a state veterans cemetery. And, their vision after a lot of time and effort is reality today.
Now, Dave, when a lot of people in Twin Cities think about a veterans cemetery, they think about Fort Snelling,
right,
which is a federal facility, correct?
It is a national cemetery operated by the federal government. That is correct.
And we have those all over the country.
All over the country, 131 national cemeteries. There's about 90 state veteran cemeteries. So,
now what's the big difference? How does and if a veteran dies, what does the family do?
Well, a lot of the states operate their cemeteries according to some standards of the National Cemetery Administration, but there are some differences, not many. In the case of our cemetery in Minnesota, the main difference is the cost, or not to the veteran, but we charge a fee for the burial of a spouse in our state veteran cemetery. It's a small revenue stream for us to assist in our operation. You don't have that in a national cemetery. The spouse of a veteran is buried at no charge. So that really is the difference between the two. And most states that operate state veteran cemeteries do have a fee. So similar to Minnesota, that's probably the difference that you'd find in most of the other states that have state veteran cemeteries. We're kind of a supplement to the National Cemetery Administration, typically located in more rural areas, less population density. Although the National Cemetery Administration has, over the past couple of decades, built several new national cemeteries in parts of the United States, all in major metropolitan areas. And so locations like Little Falls would never be considered for a national cemetery. But yet we have veterans that live all over our state. And so to provide that service and benefit closer to home, state veteran cemeteries exist to fulfill that need.
We're speaking with Dave Swantek, the Cemetery Director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery on Minnesota Military Radio. So Dave, did I hear correctly that when you took this position in Minnesota, you were new to the Little Falls Cemetery, but it was a brand new cemetery then too?
It was. It had been kind of in operation for a couple years trying to get up stood up the veterans, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs had owned it and taken over the operation of it a couple years prior to that, but they had just contracted with an individual to kind of oversee the administration of the cemetery. So I was the first state-employed cemetery director, and you know, over the years since that time, it's seen tremendous change and growth.
How many veterans and their spouses are buried there now?
Oh, we have just over 5,700 now. When I arrived at the cemetery in July of 1996, there were 224 burials that had taken place in the first couple of years of operation. And those first few years I was at the cemetery, I was the only employee there for a while. We had a contracted individual that came in and dug graves for us and some volunteers that mowed the little bit of grass. It was more like a pasture at that point, but they kept it mowed, and it's grown tremendously since then. Did a little over 100 burials those first couple years I was there, and last several years were over 400 burials a year now. So it's a different operation than it was in 1996.
Certainly is, Dave. I think I told you I stopped in there last summer, and it was green and impeccable, kept just beautifully. And then in the main building, I had to go in and notice those murals that were painted. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, got a neat project that we've been working on since 2009, when was kind of conceived. It's a project that consists of 5 8-foot by 10-foot oil paintings, each depicting a branch of the military. And the two that you talk about that you stopped in and saw are the two that are completed thus far, one for the U.S. Army and the other for the U.S. Navy. And currently about half done or so, I understand. I talked to Charles Kapsner, the artist, on the phone just last night. But half done with the Coast Guard piece. So after that, then we'll have the Marine Corps and Air Force will be the last two.
Now, we had him on the show a couple of years ago about the time he was starting this, so it was interesting to me to stop in, and I kind of had an idea what they looked like because they're historic in nature. They go back and then up to the current, but they were just unbelievable. It's something a person has to see.
It really is, and it's been fun for us to experience the reaction of families. Our facility's unique, and the location where those paintings are is the area where we do all of our committal services at the cemetery. So all the families that we serve come into that space as part of their farewell to their loved one at the cemetery, and so they get to experience those paintings as part of their farewell to their loved one, and seeing that reaction and the gazing at those paintings has been really enjoyable to witness.
Well, I'd recommend when people are on their way up to and back from their lake homes, they should pull in there and go into that area and see those paintings, because they are just remarkable.
They are. We'd be happy to talk with people about what the meaning is and show them something very special there.
Well, Dave, we're going to have to take a short break. When I come back, I know that you're in the process of planning for some new state cemeteries around the state. We want to get into that a little bit. We're talking to Dave Swantek, the cemetery director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls up by Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking with David Swantek, the cemetery director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery, which is in Little Falls and just outside the gates of Camp Ripley. It's a beautiful facility, and I'd invite everybody to go up and take a look and go inside and take a look at those murals. Now, Dave, you've got a Memorial Day program coming up, and I think it's the Sunday before Memorial Day.
That's correct, Tom. Our program's always been held on the Sunday before, which this year makes that May 24th. Our program starts at 1:30 with a half hour of instrumental music by the Richfield Symphonic Band, and then followed up by our regular program starting at 2. And this year our guest speaker is Carla Tappanier. She's very involved with the American Legion, lives in Apple Valley, and we are doing a special recognition this year for women in the military as part of our program. So have a great event planned for that day. We invite people to Come up to Little Falls and check out the cemetery, the paintings that you mentioned. Bring a lawn chair. Our program's outside, and we'd love to have people come and check out what we have going on there in Little Falls.
Have you got room for a lot of people to come up?
We do. Each year, we've gotten about 1,200 people in the past, and a few years ago, I got a visit from the Highway Patrol in February, and he said, Dave, it's time you start contracting with us for some traffic control on the highway out here. So led me to believe our program was getting of fair size when I had that visit from him.
A strong suggestion to do this.
Strong suggestion, yes.
And you said, sir, yes, sir.
We said, yes, sir. I know our agency also is inviting anybody that has other Memorial Day events that they can be submitted for publication on our website at minnesotaveteran.org.
And we'll be live on the air Memorial Day right here in the Twin Cities, and we'll read all of those activities for that day that morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Dave, I know that there's a plan to expand the state cemetery program so that you've got one kind of in each quadrant of the state.
Yes, that's correct. We started talking about this with Governor Plenty back in 2007 about expanding on the success that we'd had in Little Falls. And original location that was discussed at that time was in northeast Minnesota in the Duluth area. That, as word traveled in the state legislature, our Veteran Affairs committees at the time had fairly strong membership out of the southern part of the state. And so it quickly became a discussion about what about the southern part of the state and not our friends in the northeast. And so we looked at both southwest and southeast. And so it's been a lengthy process and a long discussion, but it's now a reality.
So the plan is to have three more scattered around the state. And I'm assuming that's so that these state veteran cemeteries are closer to the families so they can come visit.
Absolutely. What we find is that if a family has to travel typically greater than 75 miles or so from their home for a burial, they're going to choose a more local option, which means the veteran cannot take advantage of that benefit of a burial headstone. And so placing these facilities within that radius of their home provides that benefit in a location where they're better able to take advantage of that. We find many times it's the only benefit that a veteran ever seeks is a final burial along with their comrades in arms. So we're happy to be able to expand that into other regions of our state.
We're speaking with Dave Swantek, the cemetery director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Dave, I understand you've been spending a lot of time away from Little Falls.
I have. A lot of windshield time the last couple of years. We started construction of our second state veteran cemetery in a small town south of Rochester, Preston, Minnesota. Beautiful location on the Root River down there. Fillmore County was a small local government came forward to our agency after the discussion in the legislature several years ago and offered up a donation of a 169-acre property that they owned. And it propelled them to the front of the list, as it turns out, for construction of a new state veteran cemetery. We haven't forgotten about the other locations, but it did kind of take a lead in that because of that donation. And 2 years ago, nearly 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years this fall, we broke ground and started construction, and we hope to open in September with that facility down there, right on Highway 52 as you come into Preston. It's going to be a fantastic cemetery. Little Falls is very beautiful, as you've said, Tom, from your visit there. Preston, the setting is completely different. It's very rolling hills. The location of our committal shelter there at the cemetery overlooks just a spectacular vista of the Root River Valley. And it's one of those things, and unless you're standing there and see what this cemetery is going to become, it's very hard to describe it, but it's going to be absolutely stunning.
You're reminding me of the rolling hills of Arlington Cemetery out in D.C.
Arlington is a, you know, a special place in its own right, but for our veterans in Minnesota, I would venture to say they're going to have their own Arlington here.
Now, are you working on, it's going to be interesting to see when that's open, and of course, we'll have you back on so we can talk about that opening and the festivities that are going to happen there. Have you located or figured out where the next two are going to be?
Yeah, we have. As I mentioned, Northeast Minnesota, we're moving forward on a site that's outside of Duluth on Highway 53. It's in a great location. It's the Pike Lake area of Northeast Minnesota up there, and it's going to serve the range very well, and great location in Northeast Minnesota. And the other area is Redwood Falls in Southwest Minnesota, Redwood County. And we're getting close to having a piece of property. Looks like it may work there. And interestingly enough, also donated by a small county government, Redwood County. So we've got some great local government participation in these projects, even though they're state operated. We got some small local governments that have really stepped up to the plate, and donations of property that have put these projects in a very strong position to move forward.
So these cemeteries, these four, will be state-owned cemeteries and state-operated cemeteries, and sounds like you've been the beneficiary of some pretty good donations from the local folks.
Absolutely. Local government works, and the cooperation, we get the funding from the National Cemetery Administration for construction, state operates, and in two of these locations, county governments donating the property. It's great cooperation.
Dave, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the Minnesota State Veterans Cemeteries?
Well, if it's not our event coming up here on the 24th, I would invite individuals to come and visit our cemetery. As I've spoke as to other groups around the state in growing these facilities, it's more than a cemetery. It's a monument to veteran service, and something that we'd invite people to come and see what we have in our great state.
It's a beautiful cemetery. It's worth a stop, and if you're going to the cabin this summer, you should stop in and see that, and then maybe go on to Camp Ripley and take a look at the Minnesota Military Museum. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Dave Swantek, the Cemetery Director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemeteries. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Tim, what are you and your riders up to these days?
Oh, we've got lots of missions just about every day. There's a mission somewhere around the state. We just try to keep up with everybody that needs us to be there.
So it's springtime. Did everybody make it through the winter all right?
They did.
It was cold enough. Seemed like a long winter to me. I hope everybody was safe out there.
Yeah, they were. Everybody showed up on the flag line just like every other day. We have a safe group.
And even though you were riding around in a cage, you were still happy.
Yeah, we were riding in cages, but it sure was nice to get back on the bike. It didn't matter if it was 35 or whatever. As long as there wasn't ice or snow, there was people out on the bike going to missions.
Now, Tim, I understand that you were there for a ceremony when the 34th Cab came back.
Yes, it was a wonderful day. I mean, it's always awesome just to see the soldiers reuniting with their families. There's a reason we wear sunglasses, and it isn't because it's sunny.
Did you have a big crew of riders for that one?
We did. You know, normally on our escort, when we do escort for a bus, we usually try to keep it around 8. That's manageable when we're in traffic. But we probably had about 100 members out on the flag line waiting for the buses to show up.
Well, that was you probably outnumbered the soldiers that day.
It was close, but it was really good.
That had to be fun to be at that one. Welcome back those soldiers that had been over in Kuwait for so long.
It was. It was almost like a one of those makeover shows, you know, where it says move the bus. You know, we rode up on the bikes, and the buses were behind us, and there was a sea of flags in front of the families. And as the buses pulled up there, then the flags moved out of the way, and then the families and the buses could see each other.
Wow, that sounds great.
It was.
Now, Tim, who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
Anybody that has a big heart, 3x5 flag, and honor, dignity, and respect for our military.
Tim, a lot of folks tell me that they think that the Patriot Guard riders are old Vietnam veterans, and they're all veterans. It's not true, is it?
No. Actually, there's only about 50% are actual veterans. The rest of them are supporters of the military, and they understand what the military has done and sacrificed for us.
And even though they ride around in a car like me, which you call cages, they're welcome to come.
They're welcome. Anybody's welcome to come.
And it's all about what, Tim?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
And you go to about 500 missions a year.
Yes, we do.
Some of them are going away ceremonies. Some are welcome home ceremonies. Yep. You go to some of the veterans' homes, and the rest of them are funerals to honor dignity and respect for our veterans.
Yes.
Tim, you've also got, we just got a few seconds, but you've got a ride coming up.
We do. We got the Patriot Ride coming up on June 20th. It's going to be a great day. Everybody's welcome, whether or not you have a motorcycle or not. It's something to see, all the bikes, the 3,000 bikes sometimes. That's a lot of bikes.
And in a few weeks, we're going to have you back on the show with some of your partners, and we'll talk all about that Patriot Guard ride.
Yes.
Tim, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
It's Tim Leonhart from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lee Freeman, Dave Swantek, Tim Leonhart, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk to the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Tactical Airlift Wing Commander and find out about justice outreach with the Minneapolis VA. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.